Jesus took the cup after supper as well, and he said to the disciples, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let's partake together. I'd ask everyone to stand. I want a couple things. Those in junior church may be dismissed. What was the other thing? Oh, welcome one another, if you would. Those two things. Welcome one another. Those in junior church may be dismissed. Take your Bibles, if you would. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philemon. Some of you may be saying, where is that? It's little. If you go to the back of the Bible and you head back three or four books, five books, it's right just before Hebrews, just before the book of Hebrews. Loving Father, we ask that you would, through your Spirit, move. We pray that you will help. We pray that you'll encourage us, Lord, convict us where we need to change and challenge us, Lord, in areas that need to be more Christ-like. Again, we thank you for all you've done, all you will do. Bless this for your glory, Lord, and for the good of saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Philemon, I'm not going to ask you to turn to the first chapter. If you're Philemon, there's only one chapter. So, we'll look at the first seven verses today, and I'll just read that, and I'm going to give some comments, some background that'll help you. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. I want to give a little background to this book. If you miss this, you're going to miss a lot. This book, this letter, if you would, into proper perspective. Philemon, the book of Philemon, is a plea for reconciliation between a slave owner and his slave. Now, I'll talk more about that as we go along through the study, but it was very common in the first century, for slaves and slave owners. It was just part of life there. Slave owner was Philemon. He was a prominent Christian in the Church of Colossae. And the reason I'm at Philemon is it just flows with what we've just studied in Colossae, in the book of Colossians. And so we'll be here for two more Sundays, Lord willing. That's the reason we're going here. It's just to kind of finish out that study there and the connection that this letter has to the book of Colossians. But Philemon was a slave owner. He was a prominent Christian, perhaps wealthy. He was a fellow worker. It's acknowledged here in this text. The church met in his house, and that's why we believe he probably was a man that was well off in some ways anyway. And Onesimus, he was not a Christian when he was a slave to Philemon. It appears that he certainly ran away from his master, and it appears that he may have stolen from him as well. He headed from Colossae, and by God's divine providence, ended up in Rome. Guess who he met there? A guy in prison, a missionary, a pastor, a church planner, someone in love with Christ who loved people. And Paul led this man to Christ. So it totally changed the course of history for these two men. But this book is written for the reconciliation of two people. Think of it like this for a moment. God inspired Paul to write about two individuals that needed to experience forgiveness and reconciliation. He wrote a whole book in the New Testament, and it speaks to us the importance of that very thing. Now, these first seven verses, so that gives you a little bit of what we have here. But these first seven verses, they really are about building up a believer. As we go through them, there's an introduction and so forth. But my thought to you today, and what I want to challenge you with as we go through this text, is to be a person, to be a Christian, to be a brother, to be a sister in Christ who build up others, who choose good words, who are gracious and loving and kind. We need to acknowledge that the world is against us, right? He's against us, the world is, his devil's against us, the society does not see things the way we see. There's a lot of things pressing hard against our people, against one another. A lot of challenges in life. But you and I need to be the kind of people that come along others, believers, in Christ, fellow brothers and sisters, and build them up. And so I want to challenge you with that thought. We'll get into that deeper as we go. Some here of the introduction that is laid out before us, Paul, he's imprisoned in Rome. And it's in his imprisonment there that he would minister, and he would have others minister to him as well. And from that position, he wrote. And you see his heart here. You see his thoughts toward brothers and sisters in Christ. And he writes here this book, this letter to Philemon. Timothy is there with him. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. And Timothy's there. He's ministering. There are others that are there. They would come and go and minister as well. And Timothy was not in chains like Paul. He had freedom, but he was, in a sense, in chains with him. This was a brother in Christ who was limited as to what he could do. But Paul refers to Timothy as our brother. Philemon, notice here what Paul says, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. Philemon is, he is beloved. He's loved by Christ. He's loved by Paul and Timothy and others. But to know Christ is to be loved. And you will experience, or you ought to be experiencing in the body of Christ, a deep love for you. And obviously that ought to be flowing from you. He mentions Philemon. Archippus and Epaphia. Archippus, I believe, was a pastor there. Paul had challenged him to fulfill his ministry. Remember in Colossians 4:17. We looked at that last week where Paul challenged him to fulfill that ministry. Apphia, I believe, could very well be his wife. We're not positive of that, but that's what that looks like. And then he gives this greeting, grace to you, grace and peace to you. And that's Paul's heart. That's his greeting to them. He wants that they would experience that grace and peace that only comes from the Father through Jesus Christ. And that's his heart. So there's this introduction. Paul says, it's me writing and so forth too, and mentions some other people there. And then he just goes on from there. This isn't just sweet talk. It isn't a way of moving Philemon to feel good about the apostle and what he's going to say. It's not manipulative. It's truth. And the Spirit, and here it is, the Spirit of God just works this through Paul. And you see him, you see his heart here toward others. He is one who builds up the brothers and sisters in Christ. And he just uses these words now that are wonderful, words that are deep. Look at what they are here. I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. And he just begins with that way. Philemon, I want you to know something. I praise God for you, and I pray for you. And that's the way he begins this, as he's further going to challenge him on the other side of this past verse 7 and so forth. But he just starts out by speaking of the connection that they have. And he wants Philemon to know that he is dear to the Apostle Paul. I thank my God for you. And he says, I always make mention of you in my prayers. That's pretty deep, isn't it? You know, when someone comes up and says, you know, I praise God for you. I thank God for the privilege to know you, to work with you, to begin to know, to be around you and to sense who you are. And I pray for you. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to me if someone says that. And I know that is the same true of you. But he mentions that. He just lets them know, I'm praying for you. Often I've had individuals, it's a very humbling thing. Say, Pastor, just want you to know I'm praying for you. It's been some time ago. I can't remember where I was. I might have been downstate, but someone mentioned to me, they said, I'll bet you have a lot of people that pray for you, don't you? And I said, I really do. And they said, I know why. I'm not sure what they meant by that, but I think we were messing around, trying to stay out of trouble or something. But, you know, that's deep. That's deep. I remember when I came to Bark River Bible Church, one of the things I asked our elders, I said, there's something I need from you. I want you to commit to pray for me. Those men have been faithful to do that. Are you praying for people? Are you in love with people? I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So here are words that build up. And Paul acknowledges in verse 4, it is God who is worthy of praise. It's God who has moved, who's brought Philemon to Christ. And that, knowing him, Paul wants, it's a fellow brother in Christ, I want to pray for you. And he thanks God, and he notices some things here, and he mentions them. He says, I've noticed your love. I hear of your love. Isn't that neat? That's a beautiful thing. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And there ought to be none of us that are not growing in our love for the saints, for God's people. We're called to love them. We're called to be growing in love for them. And when we acknowledge, here, friend, think about it. When we acknowledge God has brought them to the point where they've trusted Christ, they're a new creation. Onesimus was one of those new creations. He went from being useless to useful. His name means useful. This slave, who Paul's writing to Philemon about, that they might have reconciliation, Paul's saying, you know, I hear of your love. And it blesses me. And of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, I'm giving God thanks for that. I mention you in my prayers. His love was noticed. His love was toward the saints. Philemon wasn't picking and choosing. This love that Paul mentions is, it's interesting. The word here is agape love. It's God's love. It's a love that says, that doesn't say this, I'll love you if you, and fill in the blanks. It's not, I love you because you can. No. This is love that is born of God, and it's in us, and it can come through us. And that's the love that God wants us to display to all people. Listen, if you're choosing, if you're picking and choosing those who you're loving, you're not loving like Christ would have you to love. And so it is, the body of Christ ought to be deep in their love for him and for one another. Philemon seemed to have had that right. Galatians 5:22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, so forth. But love, are you loving? Let me ask you this question. When others walk away from their time with you, when you've been around them, do they walk away and know something about you that you really manifest the love of Christ to them? I hope so. But let's be honest here. That can't happen. If I'm not in love with him, there's no way. If you're not in love with Christ, if he isn't preeminent, it's not going to flow through you. And let's say something else here. Does it not take a humility to do that? If I ask you today, are there people in your life who you struggle to love? If you're going to be honest, you're going to say, yeah. But you can't choose to set them aside. I know this about myself. God brings people in my life that challenge me to be loving and to be kind. That benefit is for me. He wants to do something in me. He wants to grow me. Are you loving? Are you kind? His love was noticed. His faith compelled him. Notice that. I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward all the saints. Not only did Philemon have faith in Christ, but he had faith in others, in what Christ could do through them. That's something that Paul noticed. And those words were words that came to Philemon. And I believe they were words that built him up. He mentions the importance of fellowship here. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. And the fellowship here, it's a mutual sharing of one's life. Too often today, as individuals in the church, I think it's pretty prominent out west. I've seen it quite a bit with that mentality, that cowboy mentality, that I've got my ranch and my granddad settled this and he came across and covered wagons and so forth. There's some of that in UP. It's impacted some of us here. That, you know, I've got my place, I do my things, and here's my life, and I'm really not going to get involved in sharing my life with others. This fellowship that is spoken of here is, it's we've got a common bond in Christ. We have a common struggle to live, to honor and glorify Him, and we want to share our lives with others. We need to open up. We need to let them see us, and we want to see them. That's what it's talking about here. Sometimes our mentality is, it's kind of the Lone Ranger thing, right? You'll never see that in the Word of God. That's not of the Word. That's not of the Lord. There's importance to fellowship that I think we've just missed out. There were days when we used to, years back, right? After Sunday night service, you'd go to somebody's house. You know, the schedule was, who cares? We got time for people. Today we're so busy we don't what? Have time for people. We don't have time for fellowship. We're so busy that we're just flying and we connect with nobody. The body of Christ needs to be connecting with one another. There's so much benefit here of love and sharing burdens and iron sharpening iron and challenging one another, embracing one another, letting one another know that we are for you. We're for you. Your brother, your sister in Christ, God bless you. I don't know. I want to know what's going on. How can I help? How can I pray? There's a mentality, I think, that sometimes we need to step away from and acknowledge that, you know what? God would have us to be in fellowship with Him and one another. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There ought to be this great connectedness. And he speaks of knowledge here, of the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. And that's really going to play out as he moves Philemon then forward in thinking about reconciling and forgiving this runaway slave. And we are to appropriate all that we have in Christ. We're to gain more knowledge about who we are in Christ and what we have. And what his power that works in us and through us and so forth. But this knowledge goes beyond knowing. It's experiential. It's not just that he will know, and Philemon will know what Paul's going to call him to do, about forgiveness and understands that from God's perspective of him. He's experienced that. But he's also going to call him to extend that then to Onesimus. And if we're going to walk in real knowledge, it's more than knowing A, B, C, and D about the gospel and about the Word of God. It's doing it. It's experiencing it. So that's what he's calling. It's one of the things he's challenging him with here. And you'll notice his ministry here. He says, I pray that the fellowship, verse 6, of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. And it is for the glory of Christ. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Isn't that interesting? That moves me. He's saying, I have a lot of joy in my heart for you, Philemon. When I think of you, when I pray about you, when I acknowledge these qualities about you, it blesses me. It picks me up. It challenges me in my walk. You know, this ministered to Paul. Do you understand that? Here's a man writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a mighty warrior for Christ, who's ministered to almost by an unknown, who's doing the work of the Lord. I have to tell you, when I see things like this happen, when I know of a saint, when I know of an individual who's out there ministering to others, when I hear that, you know what? My feet, they come up a little higher. My day is a little easier. It helps me. And I think the same is true of each of us, isn't it? When you hear so-and-so really was a blessing over in this area or that area. We need to be those people. We need to be those ones that minister in such a way. And he says, you know what? It's because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. They've been refreshed through you. They've been around you, Philemon. And you've ministered mightily to them. Paul has spent 3-4 verses here speaking about wonderful things that were true of Philemon. He's using words here that edify, words that build up. What a challenge to us, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever thought about a conversation you've had with someone, the words you spoke, how that impacted that person. And it's a tremendous challenge to me to think about my words, to think about how I said what I said, and the effect that I wanted that to have, and perhaps the effect that it had on somebody. I've been on both sides of that thing, where I've not used words, although they may have been true, not used them in such a way as to be a help to someone. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for building up, for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Words, they fly out, you can't get them back, right? James spends a great deal in the third chapter on words. Lord, help us with this, that we might use words that build up the body of Christ. Again, I don't know if I said this well enough, but the devil's against each one of us. The world's against us as well. We need to conduct ourselves in such a way as to build others up. We can do that with action, certainly. We can do that with love. We can do that with words. That's what Paul has done. More than that, I should say that's what God has done in this text. When Philemon receives this letter, he receives something from the God of the universe, creator of the world, who cares enough about reconciliation that he would write these words of edification for Philemon before he challenges him in his personal walk. It is for the glory of Christ. Everything that we do and say ought to be in that light. He refreshed the saints. I have to tell you, in my Christian experience, I'll take it back before I was a pastor. The most difficult things that I experienced in life were words from believers. Words that cut, words that sometimes were not true, criticism that was leveled against me. Probably true of all of us, right? That's the toughest, isn't it? When a believer kind of takes you to task. Now, there's a place for that, done in the right spirit, with gentleness and so forth. But the harshest criticism I've ever had in my life are from believers. Not proud to say that. Maybe some of those believers I've dealt with hopefully wouldn't say the same, but there might be some that would. I'm not going to leave you there, though. The other side of the equation is what Paul is doing here. He's building up a saint. He's really building up, I think, all the saints. The bigger picture of my experience with the family of God is love, grace, kindness, edification, building up. Where are you at in this? There is in our society sometimes this thought of, and it's, I think it's born of pride that I really told so-and-so the way it is. I told them. I set them in their place. Where's the Spirit of God in that? Here's love. It's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13:7. I'll give it to the in the NIV. Love, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres or endures all things. It thinks the best of others. And we, if as believers we do not love, that first part of 1 Corinthians 13 speaks of, we're nothing. Let me ask you again. When individuals, after they've spent time with you, when they go, do they sense that that person has a deep, deep love for me? I sense the love of Christ through them. I believe that's where God wants us to get. A couple challenges and I'll stop. Let me ask you this first. Would I ask God, will I humble myself before the Lord to reveal in my heart who it is that He's placed in my life that He needs to hear words of affirmation, words that build up, words that edify? Will I do more than that? Will I ask God to reveal in my heart an individual that I need to be reconciled with or I need to forgive? Would I do that? Let's make this practical. Will you write a note this week to an individual that builds them up? Maybe a card. Just want you to know, I love you. I thank God for you. Maybe some of our younger generation, you're going to send a text. XOXO, big X, little O, big X, little O. I don't know. Some of you don't get that, but that's for part of you. Maybe it's going to be that. Maybe it's going to be a phone call that says, you know what? You've been a blessing to me in my life. I thank God for you. Keep up the good work. Maybe it's going to be that. You're going to go out of your way. Maybe it's you're going to go out of your way to say hi to someone, to find out what's going on in their life. I'm just going to close in prayer. I need to say something, though. If you don't know Christ, this cannot happen through you. You don't have the power in yourself to do it. If you don't know Christ, you can't, first of all, experience that forgiveness and reconciliation, reconciliation to God, forgiveness that He offers. You can't experience that. If you don't know Christ, you're missing out in serving the one who alone is worthy to be served. And if you know Christ, folks, let's put this baby to practice this week. Let there be someone who's on the receiving end of you using words that build up, words that lift up, words that edify, words that are good for them to the glory of Christ. Heavenly Father, I think it's true of each of us that we at times have used our position, our power, a circumstance, an event, to really tear down someone, to put them in their place, to get an upper hand, maybe to bring vengeance. For that, we seek your forgiveness. Lord, I pray for this body, that we would be a body whose love for Christ would be felt, it would be heard, it would be noticed. Lord, may we be people who are quick to forgive, quick to build up. Give us words, Lord, that would honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the courage to use them. Bless, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.